to Grace on this Sunday in October. We're kind of losing our Augtober. The weather is getting a little chill, but that's okay. Yeah, that's okay. Welcome. If you're out in the parking lot listening on the radio, if you're at home taking this in online, or if you're in the sanctuary, welcome. It's good to see you here. Just a few announcements before we get started today. You want to take a look at the back page of the bulletin. First of all, today we hope you can stick around for some fellowship after church. We always have some treats and food and then each other to visit with. So Tuesday through Friday, if you see my black Tacoma pickup out front, stop by for a visit. I'd like that. Wednesday, 8 a.m., we're continuing our Bible study of the Gospel of John, having a good time. We take a 15-minute break after that, and then the prayer group meets at 9:15. So if you see a prayer card in the pew here, feel free to fill that out and put it in the offering plate. It will be prayed for 2 weeks after that. Wednesday, yeah, it's the end of the month already. Gazette items are due. Rena would like those in. Saturday, 11 a.m., the Eugene Norgren Memorial will be here at Grace with visitation 1 hour before. There's some birthdays listed for this week. We'll pray for them by name at the end of the service. Our October mission of the month is our usual one, the Ann Carlson Center. Children and young adults across North Dakota and Minnesota benefit from comprehensive therapy services provided by a team of highly specialized pediatric professionals. And we're so thankful that Jerry and Kim Peterson take our gifts out there directly and give us a report then on their way back. So next Sunday, October 31st, Sunday school, confirmation, adult study at 9, 10 a.m. worship, fellowship. But then at 3 in the afternoon, 3 to 5, this is our first ever Grace Lutheran Trunk or Treat. So if you want to participate, there's a sign-up sheet in the back there. So just decorate your trunk, park in our parking lot, and provide candy for a safe trick-or-treat experience for our local kids. And no, I will not dress up as a pastor and try to get candy out of you. It's tempting. My standard one as a kid was always a hobo. That was an easy outfit to put together. So anyway, some thank yous. Thank you to those who brought food and served last Sunday, and then a huge, huge thank you to our event committee and everyone. And it annual chicken dinner yesterday. We went from we're open to wow, we're busy to a bona fide hog wrestle there for a while. It was it got a little sporty, but we worked hard and got caught up, and everybody had a good experience. And we sent 160-ish meals out the side door for takeout. Wow.
And 263 inside.
Okay.
We had we took in $4,500 in offerings, and it'd be about 600 or so for expenses off of that. And half is totally a mission project for our church. One half of the money goes to the Ann Carlson Center, and half of it goes to the Salvation Army.
All right.
We had some awesome workers, and thank you to everybody that brought the 40 plus desserts.
Yes. Thank you, thank you. It was a great, great evening. And so we're all moving a little slow this morning, but we're here. All right, so I'm going to turn the corner into our worship service. We're going to have the tolling of the bell, and then after that, I'm going to do a special welcome. So we open our service this morning in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Take a moment of silence as we prepare our hearts for worship this morning. Reverend Tom Olson and his lovely wife Eunice to come up front here. Where are you, Tom? Okay, come on up. We have special guests this morning, and Tom's going to show us a little video, and then he'll be speaking today. So I'm very excited to have you here. Actually, my presence here as pastor in a LCMC church is Tom's fault because he interviewed me so that they let me in. So you must have said
you passed the litmus test.
And Eunice, God's peace to you. So this is Reverend Tom Olson and his wife Eunice. Let's give them a warm welcome.
Thank you, Brad. And it is a dear pleasure and honor for Eunice and I to be here. I'm a former missionary with the old ALC and ELCA. I spent about 15 years in Cameroon and the Central African Republic. And then in 2000, Eunice and I moved back to the United States. God called us back here, and for 19 years, I was a pastor up in Hawley for Hegeland, Lisney, and Solem Lutheran churches. And now God, in his great wisdom and providence, has called Eunice and I back to Africa. And our last Sunday with HLS Ministry was last June, and we're preparing to go out with the World Mission Prayer League to the Democratic Republic of Congo. And I had a wonderful time, Eunice and I did, with the adult Bible study this morning. And I would like to come back sometime and spend more time with you. And I'd like to share more about the World Mission Prayer League and about missions in general. So to help facilitate that today, as our initial contact, I'd like to show a 3-minute video that is called What a Coup Taught Me. What a Coup Taught Me by Jean Johnson. And this woman is a great gift from God. She's the founder of Five Stones Global Ministry, which is an offshoot of Christian Missionary Association. No, what's it called? World Mission Associates, and it has changed into Five Stones Global, where we try to minimize the problem of unhealthy dependency in mission organizations throughout the world. And this is a very informative video. So I think I will be available after church to answer any questions in dialogue during the fellowship time. Brad did ask me to preach today, and he asked me what text, and I said, keep the text. I always follow the lectionary, and today's texts are so beautiful that I can't be talking about God's mission, but I have to proclaim God's word through the text for the day. So let's begin with just this short video that will stimulate your thinking, and we can talk about it after church during the fellowship hour.
Amount of foreign funding to hold up this massive box of Christianity. However,
provoking. I have a good friend that I taught with at the seminary for years, Rod Spidall. And Rod had a vision when he was over there of developing the Harvester School of the Bible to train local people to do the missions work. And he had an uphill fight with that because the box builders. So very thought-provoking. I'm going to be looking forward to hearing you know, more about your call to go back specifically. But we want to just pray for Tom right now, and let's do that. Lord, we pray for Tom and Eunice as they've heard your call, and they are going back now to Africa. We pray, Lord, that you would be in every single detail of this move. Watch over them, bless them in their ministries, sustain them. And we just pray, Lord, that you know everything that needs to be known. And we pray your blessing upon them. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Daisha, you're on for our call to worship.
Worship is a responsive reading found in the book of Psalm 126. When the Lord restored the fortunes of Zion, our mouths were filled with laughter,
our tongues with songs of joy.
Then it was said among the nations,
the Lord has done great things for them.
The Lord has done great things for us.
And they are filled with joy.
Restore our fortunes, Lord, like streams in the Negev.
Those who sow with tears will reap with songs of joy.
Those who go out weeping, carrying seed to sow,
will return with songs of joy.
We'll turn to the hymn. Let us pray. Almighty God, increase in us your gift of faith, that forsaking what lies behind and reaching out for the future, we may follow you walking in the steadfast joy that only can give. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Grant us what we need the most, your blessed gospel's consolation. What we're going to do now is to tap into that gospel, to hear God's pure word of forgiveness as we stand before him as sinners and confess that. And we'll go through this confession together, and then I'm going to have Amy do the song that I hopped over because I'm a little punchy from last night too. So anyway, I'll grab my reading glasses, then I can see. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Father and Lord, we come to you just as we are in all our brokenness, asking for forgiveness. Out of the depths we cry unto you, O Lord, hear our voice. Let your ears be open to our plea for mercy. If you, O Lord, should keep track of sin, who could stand before you? Lord Jesus, our prayer. We are caught in sin. The good that we want, we do not do, but we do the evil we do not want. We are broken in what we do and in what we fail to do. Though our sins are like scarlet, make them as white as snow. Restore to us the joy of your salvation. God's good news for us confessed sinners, there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. In him, your sin is forgiven. He has called you by name. You are his. God's Son has made you free.
Amen.
Join me in the confession of our Christian faith, the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship. Christians all over the planet have confessed this creed for over 1,700 years. We step into that rich stream of faith and history right now. I believe in God the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And God's peace be to each and every one of you.
All right. Well, I'd like to invite you to join us in singing the song, Wonderful, Merciful Savior. I'm just going to give the guys back there a moment to jump back to that, those slides at the beginning. So sing along with us. Sing.
Wonderful, merciful Savior, precious Redeemer and friend, who would have thought that a lamb would rescue the souls of men? Oh, you rescue the souls of men. Counselor, come.
23 through 28, the priesthood of Jesus Christ. Now there have been many of those priests since death prevented them from continuing in office, but because Jesus lives forever, he has a permanent priesthood. Therefore, he is able to save completely those who come to God through him, because he always lives to intercede for them. Such a high priest truly meets our need, one who is holy, blameless, pure, set apart from sinners, exalted above the heavens. Unlike the other high priest, he does not need to offer sacrifices day by day, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people. He sacrificed for their sins once for all when he offered himself. For the law appoints as high priest men in all their weaknesses, but the oath which came after the law appointed the Son, who has been made perfect forever. The word of the Lord. And then our gospel text for this Sunday, blind Bartimaeus receives sight. Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately, he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The word of the Lord. The prayers of the church. God of abundant mercy, always more ready to hear than we are to pray, always willing to give more than we desire, and giving us those gifts which we are not worthy to ask, by your Holy Spirit, draw our church members together in worship to praise your most worthy name and to support one another. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
We pray for those in affliction. Almighty God, hear the prayers of those who turn to you in their time of trial. Be their refuge and strength, and to the glory of your name, their very present help in trouble. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Have compassion, O Lord, on those who do not know you, like sheep without a shepherd. Inspire us, your people, to be your messengers, so that all may know you, Jesus, as the true shepherd and savior of their souls. Lord, in your mercy. Bless the children of your church, O Lord, that they may walk in grace, grow in knowledge of your word, and be kept from all danger. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the harvest. O Lord, during this time of harvest, we give thanks for your bountiful provisions. We pray for seasonable weather, that under your care the crops may be safely gathered in without damage or loss. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
God is greater still than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes on the highest star and reaches to the lowest. The guilty pair bowed down with care. God gave his son to win. His erring child he reconciled and pardoned from his sin. When years
morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Thank you so much for inviting me to share God's word with you today. I love, Series B this year? Series B gives us the whole Gospel of Mark. And Mark and John happen to be my two favorite Gospels. And the good thing about Mark is, you know, it's the shortest of our four Gospels. It's only 16 chapters. And because it's so short, to fill out the lectionary season in July, we get about 5 weeks of eating the bread from heaven. And we spend so much time in John 6, which is a beautiful part of Scripture. But today, I want to concentrate on what Brad read from Mark chapter 10. This is absolutely beautiful, and I just think Mark was a genius. We believe that Mark was probably a scribe for Peter, and that this is a collection of Peter's sermons. And I actually believe that because Peter is so candid in there, he's not ashamed to tell us who he really is. And we're going to talk a little bit about that in a couple minutes. But before we begin with the sermon, let's begin with a word of prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for your mighty and powerful word. Your word through which you created this entire creation. Your word with which you continue to create and redeem. Your word which became flesh and dwelt among us in Jesus. Your word which is sharper than a two-edged sword, able to separate marrow from bone. We thank you for this powerful word that kills and makes alive, that raises from the dead. So silence now and cast out whatever is within us, dear Lord, that would keep us from hearing your word and receiving it in faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from this present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The text we read today, as Brad was saying, is about the blind man Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus. That's at the end of chapter 10. But I want to entertain with you the idea that Mark really knew what he was doing when he put that story of blind Bartimaeus where he is. When Jesus is going up to Jerusalem, he's coming through Jericho when he encounters blind Bartimaeus today. His eyes are fixed to his mission, and he knows he's going to suffer and die. As a matter of fact, three times in the Gospels, and it's very clear now in the Gospel of Mark, three times Jesus predicts his suffering and death. And what Mark has done to really bring this to our attention, that this is what the Messiah must do, he tells it three times in three consecutive chapters. Chapter 8, chapter 9, and chapter 10. So I want you to think of it as if we have three books here. And on either side of the books are bookends. And Mark is saying, now, in order to understand these three books here, you need to depend on the bookends. So how does Mark chapter 8 begin? Mark chapter 8 begins with Jesus healing a blind man. Do you remember this story? This man is blind, and he comes up to Jesus, and he wants his sight restored. So Jesus spits on the ground, and he takes a little mud, and he puts it on the guy's eyes. And he looks up to heaven, and he prays, and he asks the gentleman, "Can you see anything?" And what does he say? "Yes, I can see people, and they look like trees." Now, can you imagine this? Our Lord says, I guess I gotta up the dose. So he does it again. He touches his eye, and he can see. He can see clearly now. And then Jesus goes up to Caesarea Philippi with his disciples. As they're going up there, he says, "Who do people say that I am?" And the people say, or the disciples say, "Some say you're John the Baptist, or you're Elijah, or you're one of the prophets." And Jesus says, "No, now I'm going to ask you, who do you say that I am?" And here's what we call the beautiful confession of Peter. Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." It's absolutely beautiful. Now, Matthew embellishes that in chapter 16 of Matthew. That first confession of Peter is found in Mark chapter 8, but it's 16 in Matthew's gospel. And Jesus says to Peter, according to Matthew, he says, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of John, for it is not flesh and blood that has revealed this to you, but the very Spirit of our God." Isn't that great? Can't you see Peter, just his buttons bursting? And then Jesus says, "You know the Son of Man, who I am, the new Israel. I'm going to be delivered over into the hands of sinful men. And I'm going to suffer and die and be killed. And 3 days later, I will rise." Now, Peter says, "This is the Christ, the Messiah? This can't be." And Peter takes Jesus aside, and it says he rebuked Jesus. He scolded Jesus. "No, Lord, this can't happen to you." Now, what does our Lord do? It's pretty clear that Peter takes him aside, but after he rebukes Jesus, Jesus takes Peter publicly and rebukes him in front of all of the disciples. And he says, "Get behind me, Satan, for you are not on the side of God, but the side of men." How's that for a public rebuke? Now, the interesting thing is in Matthew 16, Jesus says, "Oh, blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah. Your name is Peter. And on this rock I shall build my church. And the gates of hell will not prevail against it." But now, Jesus just called Peter Satan. I don't think God built his church on Satan. What he built it on was Peter's confession that Jesus is the Christ. That's the word of God that his church is built on. Now, Jesus gets done chastising, rebuking, correcting Peter, and they go on their way. And he continues preaching and teaching and healing. But then, in chapter 9 of Mark, a second time, Jesus predicts his suffering and his death. He says, you know, I'm going to be delivered up to the chief priests and the scribes, and I'm going to be beaten, and I'm going to be killed, and 3 days later, I will rise. Now, the disciples all hear this. And as they were walking, what were they talking about? Who's going to be the greatest of them? And they were a bit ashamed when Jesus says, what were you talking about there? And he tells them about his suffering and death. Now, this is where I'm really proud of my brothers, the disciples, because they prove they might be dumb, but they ain't stupid. Because they said, what he just said, we don't understand. And remember what he did to Peter yesterday? So they say, it's better to remain silent and be thought of as a fool than to speak and remove all doubt. So they don't say anything to Jesus. That's the second book. Now, in the third book, this is going to break my when I tell this third time. Jesus, again, he's coming up to Jericho. He's got his eyes fixed to Jerusalem. He knows what's awaiting him there. And he tells his disciples a third time, I am going to suffer, and I'm going to die. I'm going to be killed. And 3 days later, I will rise. And the sons of Zebedee, come up to him and they say, Jesus, we have a favor for you to ask. And he says, James and John, what are you talking about? And they said, well, we have a favor to ask you. Now, imagine this. Jesus just spilled out his guts that he's going to suffer and die. And James and John come up and they say, we have a favor. When you get into your glory and when we enter there, can one of us sit at your right hand and one at your left? In your glory. They're looking for power. They're looking for recognition. Jesus is talking about suffering and dying and serving. And they want to be on his left and his right. And he says, do you know what you're asking? Can you drink the cup that I will drink? Can you be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized? And they said, yeah. Yes, we can. And Jesus says, well, that's good. But to sit at my right and my left is not for me to decide, but for my Father in glory. But you will drink the cup that I drink. And you will be baptized with the baptism in which I'm baptized. And you know what? Those knuckleheads didn't get it. Chapter 8, Peter didn't get it. Chapter 9, all the disciples didn't get it. And now, in chapter 10,
James and John didn't get it. Now, we need the second bookend that keeps these books together. And this is gorgeous, this story. Jesus is walking through Jericho now. He's going up to Jerusalem. And there's this blind man who has never seen anything, sitting on the side of the road. And he's saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Now that is a Jewish code. Son of David means the anointed one, the king. God's promise to David was that somebody in his household will always remain king, and now Jesus is the true king that has come. And he's saying, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And the people next to him said, "Be quiet. You're just a blind man. Shh. Be quiet. Don't bother the master." But with that, all the more he shouted louder, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus hears him. And he says, "Call that man here. Bring that man here." Now the very people who told him to shut up go to him and say, "Hey, today's your lucky day. The master calls you." And now he comes to Jesus and Jesus says, "What do you want?" This gentleman wants nothing but mercy. "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." "What do you want?" "Give me my sight." And immediately his sight is restored. He can see clearly. And you know what? He followed Jesus the rest of the way. Those other knuckleheads who didn't get it are looking for power and glory and authority. But blind Bartimaeus wants nothing but mercy. What Mark is telling us about these two bookends is without Jesus, we cannot see. But Jesus opens our eyes. Jesus grants us faith. Blind Bartimaeus teaches us that, you know what? It's better to be blind and unable to see than to be able to see and have no vision. The disciples just didn't get it. And you know what? We don't get it either. The greatest among you will be a servant of all. If you want to be great, Jesus says, you must become like a child. Those disciples didn't get it. But here's the good news. They did in the end. How can that be? Because Jesus had them. Jesus had them. Jesus has got your back. And the day comes when we shall see him face to face. And then you know what? We'll get it. Because he's got us. And Christ Jesus has got us with a grip with which he will never let go. And this, dearly beloved, is the good news that we are called to proclaim to the ends of the earth. And now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Amen.
Pastor Olson, the gospel of God's one-way grace. He's got us. What can we do but to sing praises after hearing a message like that? And let's do that right now and invite the praise singers to make their way forward. We're going to sing a beautiful hymn of the church. Now, Thank We All Our God, hymn number 534, and we'll take the offering during that hymn also. Now, Thank We All Our God. Let us pray. Gracious God, we thank you for the clear word of the gospel that we have heard today. You have us. We did not choose you, but you chose us. You bestowed your grace upon us. You sent us your Son. You've opened your throne room for us to come in with our prayers and requests. And Lord, today we lift up before you Diane Pauley, Kristen Hybe, Brent McKellips, Brock Hassling, William Levine. Lord, may you bless each of these as they celebrate their birthdays. grant them understanding that you have them, that you love them deeply. And Lord, in this moment of silence, we lift up our own hearts to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer.
I'd like to invite you to stand as our time together comes to a close. We're going to sing together a song that's not found in our hymnals, but you can see the words up on the screen. No, not one, about our friend and Savior, Jesus.
There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. No one could heal all our souls' diseases, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. No friend like him is so high and holy, no, not one, no, not one. And yet some friend is so meek and lowly, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. There's not an hour that you hear not near us, no, not one, no, not one. No nights are dark, but his love can cheer us, no, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus, no, not one, no, not one. Was there a gift like the Savior given? No, not one, no, not one. Will he refuse us a home in heaven? No, not one, no, not one. Jesus knows all about our struggles, he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus, no, not one, no. One more time, sing Jesus. Jesus knows all about our struggles, he will guide till the day is done. There's not a friend like the lonely Jesus, no, not one, no, not one.
Upon you, and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Tom and Eunice, I'm going to ask you to post up in the back here so people can greet you. And go in peace and serve our very gracious God.
Thanks be to God.